Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and the sometimes the Derek Lewis of the Border Patrol, Nate Bucati. Because sometimes you just gotta go.
That's an evergreen for me.
Right.
I say that before every segment.
I like how he's looking off camera, too. I don't know who he's talking to. I got to take a blank. Paul Felder's talking to him about becoming the all-time knockout artist in heavyweight history in UFC. And then, hello. Oh, it's on. So, you know, I heard a hello there from Jamie Bluma. Mics are on, Bluma.
Hello,
good morning.
Hello. This no, is I thought we were getting ready.
UFC heavyweight
getting
history.
Ready to talk about poop again.
Oh, boy. Play that again. I don't think people got a chance to hear that. That was Derek Lewis.
Counts in UFC heavyweight history, my friend. Well, listen, we'll get to that in a second.
Oh, hello.
Can you hear me, brother?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's up?
All right, well, before you go in.
That's actually my favorite part of it, is that part right there.
I know. Oh, hello. Hello. Hello there.
UFC heavyweight history, my friend. Well, listen, we'll get to that in a second.
Oh, hello.
Can you hear me, brother?
Oh, yeah, yeah, what's up?
All right, well, before you go and remove your bowels out there in the bathroom, the most knockout.
Oh, hello?
Before you go, remove your bowels.
Yeah. Don't remove your bowels.
Right, that's awful.
That is awful.
You're right. That might be the best part.
Oh, hello?
Oh, hello? Oh, hello?
That's just a drop in the knee right there. Just him saying, oh, hello?
Jake?
Well, listen, we'll get to that in a second.
Oh, hello?
Can you hear me?
Where does that rank up against his balls were hot, Jake? Where do you – is that equal?
I don't know.
Greater than, less
My
than?
Balls are hot. That's an all-timer.
Yeah.
But –
This might be an all-timer as well. I don't – it is – we're – I mean, this is good. It's real good.
He
just – you know what? He just delivers.
Yeah.
In and out of the cage.
Right.
He's a must-follow on Instagram, by the way. Not for the like, faint of heart, but he puts out – Oh man! Funny.
No, trust
funny,
me.
Funny.
We're
stuff.
Watching the fight, and Susan's okay. Hey, let's. The fight's over. I said, "Oh no! This is we've only just begun. He's about ready to be interviewed. This is the guy that the balls was hot against." She goes, "Oh no!" She goes, "You think he'll really say something again like that?" I said, "Well, let's see." And as soon as I say that, he's he delivers. And so, thank you, Derek Lewis, for bringing me joy not only with your knockout win but your excellent post fight.
The balls was hot.
See, that was an old one. See, now you don't. Now there's a greatest hits clip both in and out of the octagon for Derek Lewis. Hello, Jamie Bluma. Hello, Emily. How's everyone doing today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Champion here.
know?
Yeah. We're.
That's right. Let's get to that. Let's talk about that because then we'll talk about the red hot Royals you can't even touch because they're so hot. But how did everything go with the race? I know. But let's tell our wonderful listeners that listen to you describing the race that you were going to take part in, and now that it's over, how did everything play out?
Well, last Tuesday, 350 paddlers, or boats, I should say, embarked on the MR340, which is the race from Kansas City to St. Louis on the Missouri River. It's 340 miles. I was Team Fruit Loop, very intimidating team name, with myself and Candy Hill, and we took off in the women's tandem division and ended up coming in first with a time of 48:28.
Wow. Congratulations.
48 hours and 28
That's
minutes.
Incredible.
Okay, so let's let Derek Lewis really influence our first question here. So 48 hours, what's the longest amount of time that you're in the kayak straight without a break during the 48
hours? I believe there's a good 8 to 9 hour chunk. Actually, right out of the gate from Kansas City to Waverly is a very long. That's one of your longest stints.
Okay. And so Nate would never be eligible to do that.
Nope.
You could not go 8 hours on the waters without having
Mother Nature would be calling. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So
you got to pee in the boat, bud.
Yeah. Well,
that's not
that.
What we're talking about. That's not what Derek
well,
said.
I have a very active digestive system.
Same here. So. This has been covered.
I mean, you like how? Like, is it? I mean, you got to be mentally strong just to, you know, to not. I mean, that would be a big challenge for me too. For 8 hours, I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could handle that. That might be the toughest thing about it.
Well, like, you're not even a quarter through the race at that point. You're just you kind of and there's a statement kind of eat the elephant and you just because it kind of makes the elephant shape and but you just kind of do it segment by segment where if you start focusing in on okay, I got 339 miles left. I got 338. Don't do it that way. Mm-hmm. Do it, you know, break it up. Know your river, know those other ramps. Know that at La Bonita, which is off 291 and this, the river, you're going to hear people holler. You know, I'm gonna hear that Bluma whose voice carries through the river, no problem. I'm going to hear him. And those are just little, you know, motivators as you go through and you can communicate a little bit. There was one stop, Napoleon, or not, it wasn't a stop. It was just a drive-by that I was hollering at him. Of course, everybody else is hollering at us to cheer. And I'm trying to holler at him that I'm going to need a little first aid in Waverly and but you just go, you just incrementally break it up. And then to know that, at you know, Waverly, I'm going to have to put on my night gear because I'm going to go into the night at that point to hit Glasgow. And what do we have to do there? And how much nourishment? And how are we drinking? There's a lot of, I don't want to say science to it, but just a lot of stats that are going in.
A lot of planning.
A lot of planning just to make sure that.
What do you eat before? Because you have, obviously, you need to fuel yourself. And this is a grueling race, but I mean, you know, you can't go out and have a big chili dinner the night before.
No, then, you know, no.
I can.
Or you could. I mean, I don't know how you
have some nachos with a lot of peppers.
Right.
Loaded up with peppers.
You know what I mean? Loading up on here?
You start thinking about what you're eating definitely the day before of like what gets things moving or not moving. Why are we always talking about poop? Why is this my thing?
That's what we do.
I am a lady. Ladies
not your thing. It's our thing.
No, ladies do talk about it. Trust me. I live with three. Of them and they talk about it a lot, unfortunately. No, but I'm telling you that Derek Lewis caused it, but it got me thinking, like, I'm on a boat for like an hour and I'm thinking, all right, I gotta go to the bathroom, someone help me out here. But that's just part of it. But you, so like, what's your big meal to get you ready for this test of endurance?
But well, on the way there, it was that shake that we actually talked about before. Yeah. But you know, oatmeal and peanut butter and things that I know are going to kind of stick to my ribs. That shake we ended up, I had set it on top of the dash as we were leaving the house and we hit the ditch and it flew all over the truck and all over me. So we didn't even make it out of the driveway before I had to go inside and change my clothes.
Yeah, that was at 4:30.
Right.
Nice, Bluma.
Yeah, whoopsie.
Green stuff just everywhere. So, but you know, I just kind of eat the whole time that we're prepping. And then I have a liquid nutrition called GoFar. That's a meal replacement. And it's in one of my, I have two tubes that run from Camelbacks that run up the front of me, and it, one's water and one is GoFar, and it works really well for me. But you don't know, you could be 2 hours into the race and all of a sudden your stomach just turns sour on that, and then you have to go to other things. So I don't do the Cliff Bars or things like that. Those are the driest things ever when you're racing. So a lot of goo packets, a lot of I use Bobo bars, they're just a little bit different. And then of course there's the Hardee's hot ham and cheese thing with me. So luckily, my buddy that I grew up with was able to get some for us in Jeff City, or Hartsburg, technically.
Clint, I'll give Clint Hayes a little shout-out. He's a fireman in Jeff City, and she grew up with him. And he texted me that morning. It's like, hey, are you guys stopping in Jeff City? And we said, no, we're actually stopping in Hartsburg. He's like, do you need anything? And I said, if there's any way, and you know where there's a Hardee's where you can come up with some hot ham and cheeses, that would be huge. And he goes, I know exactly the spot. We'll see you in 40 minutes. And he showed up with a bag of 4 hot ham and cheese. So not only could I use it for that stop, and those could be used later on in the race as well, because that's one of the go-tos, just to give her a Ziploc bag with a sandwich in it to be able to crush that along the way. So thank you, Clint Hayes.
My sister loves hot ham and cheese from Hardee's.
Yeah,
ever since we were little kids, that was like one of her favorite things.
Great.
Oh, man, that's funny. You know, one of my favorite things about watching along on Facebook with all of Bluma's posts about what you were doing is how big of a fan of you this man is right here.
Aww.
I'm getting all, you know, touchy feely here, but I'm serious about this. This dude right here is a fan of yours. You know, he is a supporter. He is out there, and it's cool because obviously you're doing the hardest part of the work, but his job is no like small feat what he's doing, and he is loving every minute of it, and he is so excited about what you're doing and so proud of you. That's got to make you feel great and give you extra that little extra oomph to keep going, right?
Right. Yeah. I definitely acknowledge it. I feel it. I couldn't ask for a better supporter, better fan. And I mean, for me to be able to just pull up to a ramp not do a thing, remove my tubes and walk away. And I don't have to manage my own bags, manage my own clothes, nothing. I know and feel extra confident that he's going to take care of me 100% and then support me and follow me and stalk the other teams and and know that I can just do what exactly what I have to do. And some of those moments where I have to go fall asleep for at least 10 minutes because my brain's not okay right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm more than aware that he is my biggest fan. And I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, but you guys have some competition.
Well, and I appreciate all that too. And I got a big shout out goes out to Kayla Hill and Randy Hill, my other, you know, grounds crew. So that's Candy's husband and their daughter. She was doing it for the first time, and you guys know me. I'm loud and obnoxious, and she had no idea about me going into it. So,
poor Kayla. Bless her heart.
She's such an introvert, and she got a lot of bluma over the last 96 hours. But same, this is a women's tandem. This isn't a women's solo. So this was a team effort, and to be able to, you got one person not feeling good trying to get back into the boat, there's a lot of work to do as far as motivation and mental game and trying to figure out where you're at in the rest of the race. And my whole thing with the big yellow boat and the big brown river is not me. It's about keeping her family and everybody that's paying attention informed. And I know from years past, I hadn't done a very good job of that. Sometimes cell reception and sometimes, you know, I can't text 75 people at once. That's the nice thing about Facebook is when I find reception is I can give an update to a lot of people. And you just never know who's paying attention. I will tell you this. Last Monday when we walked out of studio in that hour talking about it, by the time we had made it to the car, I think there was, you know, 50 to 75 more people that requested to be, you know, part of following in the race via Facebook Live and all that stuff. So I can't thank you guys enough because when we're doing it, that's the motivation for us. We know what they're out there on the water doing, busting their asses. And we're to see people paying attention when you go Facebook Live in the comments while I'm doing it and especially at dark 30 or 5 o'clock in the morning to know that there's actually people watching. I can't thank all the people that are fans of that page, family, friends, everybody paying attention. Yeah, that keeps us motivated.
The reason it's so fun to watch, though, is because how much you're enjoying it. I mean, you can you're not faking your way through how much you're enjoying everything she's doing and how proud you are and how excited you are by the whole thing. And so that's the story of anything in life. When somebody's really... it loves something and is excited about something, it's contagious. And so it was contagious for me. It was fun to watch.
Cool.
Appreciate that.
Well, and I encourage anybody that doesn't know anything about it and only follows what we're doing is to, you know, maybe volunteer to help at a ramp next year or to help somebody do grounds crew or there's Boy Scout troops all along the route selling, you know, selling food. And it's just an amazing group of people and community that if you don't know anything about it, you don't know anything about it, but to be a part of it and do some stuff is pretty awesome.
If I could get them to volunteer to scoop the mud off of the Hartsburg ramp, that was the slimiest. You get out, your feet go in, and I was like, I can't get my feet out.
Yep.
This is...
There's some crazy things that happen along the way. Steven, you were about to say something.
Yeah, it's awesome to hear the way Nate described the way you support Emily, and it's funny because that resonates because Nate supports me that way. Because Emily, when you said like you just need a quick 10-minute nap, Nate does that for me throughout the show. Whenever he asks a question,
yep.
And I can get a
yep.
quick.
That's how I
just couldn't
I
wait
out.
To say that. I've been laughing for the last 3 minutes. That's all. That sounds like me and Nate.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what, Steven
needs a little
like
quick, some little shut eye real quick. Let me ask a question.
We got a really long-winded question here. That's how I help out.
It's, you know, I never realized it was because you care about me.
I'm your biggest fan, Steven. I'm just
you.
Here
you
to
want me to be
you.
Well rested by the time we get to the 8 o'clock right. hour. You just want me to.
That's right.
I'm about to tear up myself in this whole deal right here.
Another Jake, did you know? Does it make you feel good, Nate and Jake, that we support each other?
Yeah.
I mean, you supported Nate the other day when he wasn't listening to one of our guests. So I mean, we all pick each other up.
By the way, that's an evergreen. That happens at least once a show.
By the way, Billy Donlin's my new favorite guest. By the way.
He's skyrocketing up the charts throughout the entire...
If you want to become Steven and Jake's favorite guest, just make fun of me for something.
There you go.
Boom, straight to the top.
Right to the top.
Straight to the top.
That's exactly right.
We can pick that up a little bit.
I'll give you a lot of ammo. Nope. It's pretty easy. It's cherry picking, really. But,
you told us about losing skin. Mm. And that sounded very painful. And so you mentioned needing some first aid. It's like, What was your condition when you got done with this race? Oof. What was the worst thing that you had to put up with?
A lot of chafing.
And we talked about it on Monday. Her heavy biggest chafing. Fear was skin, and that lived up to
its name.
Right. That race picks a different part of my body every year to destroy. And you know, last year it was my armpits, that skin, and my my hip. And this year it was my lower back torso, and that's from my life jacket and my back band. So it shredded me pretty bad, and we had a lot of tape. I asked my brother to do something I know he didn't want to do, and this was at Waverly. This was at that first stop where I already had a pretty bad open wound, and I just asked him to put tape right over the top of it. And Joe, my brother, questioned me, "Emily, are you sure?" Put it right over the top of it. And
Emily?
We added creams, and we added all sorts of stuff, and it just didn't matter. That's what the race was going to take that year. And I knew I was ripping it all off, but I wasn't going to stop. That's not going to stop my race. It'll heal. It's just the top layer. We don't need that layer.
Bluma just showed me a couple pictures. Man. So since I always like to make these things about myself, when I ran that marathon that I like to bring
there
up, my nipple was bleeding like crazy.
You brought that up last time, too.
Yeah, right? I'm going to do it every time. But I remember that I had like a big red stain right over one of my nipples by the end of the race because of that. But nothing not even close to compared to what... I just wanted to get Jake something to cut for a drop
there.
Yeah,
clip that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, bloody nipple.
Oddly enough, that injury nipple. Had nothing to do with the race.
No,
I just had that before the race
Don't worry
started,
about it. That's crazy. How does it feel now? Like, is it starting to heal at all, the skin?
Yeah, it's itching. I have Tagoderm over everything. I'm a big believer in that. And it's itchy right now, so I know that it's healing, and that's good. And we did a Facebook Live yesterday just kind of going through some stats, and you know, Facebook chooses the image that's the still shot, and it chose my gut for some reason, because I did lift my shirt and show it, and I'm like, thank you, Facebook. It's the best photo of my face, apparently. So I do show it in there. It looks gnarly, and it's itchy, but I'm okay. It's not a big deal.
Her hands are pretty good this year sometimes. I mean, it's amazing to see some of the different. You got to realize, too, and you were asking earlier, in 48 hours and 28 minutes, the longest they were ever out of the boat was 2.5 hours. I mean, that's an hour and a half nap, 30 minutes to get out of the boat, 30 minutes to get back in the boat, an hour and a half nap. So that's, and that happened once.
That was at the very end, and it's because I'd lost my noodles. I was complete hallucinations, and it wasn't safe for us to be out there anymore. And it wasn't like, ooh, I need a nap. It sounds good. It was, if I don't shut my eyes, I'm going to, and I was already, you know, some of the hallucinations are fun, but at the time, you know you don't have your wits about you. And I'm driving. I'm the one that's steering the boat. I did fall asleep at one point while still continuing to paddle. And my partner woke me up and said, "You're going straight to shore." And I was like, "I'm sorry about that. I'm full asleep right now. I apologize.
She said the front of the boat had turned into a dog's head.
Caught
a fish at one point. The dog caught a fish.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a good boy. That's a good dog.
That's a good dog. It's a beautiful dog.
Well, since we're talking about hallucinations that are good, let's bring in our expert, Jake Pounders. What are your comments
about taking
on
up
these?
This race next year.
Right, exactly.
You're both turning into dogs?
Yeah.
Jake has been looking for something that will cause him to hallucinate a dog boat that catches fish. And so if you could hook Jake up maybe with this race, he could finally get to that that long-awaited goal.
Yeah.
So, what kind of dog was it? What kind of dog it was?
Actually, there was a dog at the bike stop that we saw the next day. It was a big furry dog with cute ears, and it was like he was laying down on all fours. But he was pulling my boat, so I was fine with it. And then he caught a fish.
So he was with you. He was working
he was
with you.
Yeah. The front of the boat was the dog. Yeah. And then I thought we had caught a fish, and so I stopped paddling and tried to like get the fish off the front.
Yeah.
And Candy asked me, she's like, "What are you?" She could just feel me bouncing around up there. "What are you doing?" And I'm trying to get the
let go of the fish.
This dog has been this fish.
Huh.
Like, Lord, please. And she would she'd talk to me a little bit, and I have to turn my head to talk to her because she can't hear me. And I'd look over, and I would just see animals and giant paper dolls being held by stilts. And last year it was treadmills on the water, and this year it was full weightlifting. And I was like, I can't look over there. I'm just going to look at this dog, and we're going to be fine. And then you pull into Klondike, and that little hour and a half, it lets your brain shut off and right back out there. And then we picked it up at the end. We picked it up in a couple different chunks and got out there, and you see that, you know, 25 miles, 24 miles, and you're like, let's go.
A number, you know, sub 50, and that is a big deal. And only three boats went sub 40 this year, which you think about it. To go 40 or less, you have to average, including sleep and everything, you have to average 8.5 miles an hour. So it's just crazy the difference between, you know, 48 and 40 and 35. Three boats went 35. They ended up finishing 21st out of 326 or 27 boats that completed the race. So way up front, pretty amazing stuff.
I think just to do it's amazing, let alone to win it the way you did.
And kudos to Scott.
I can identify with that hallucination, too, because and it's not really, I don't know if it's a hallucination, but maybe an imagination. I see, like, Patrick Mahomes' torso with the body of a stallion, and it talks to me, but it's not really the same, I think, as yours, now that I've said it out loud.
Those are fantasies,
scale back. Well, I don't know if it is. It's just, it happens. I don't ask for it. It's just like, hey, what are you doing?
Hallucinating and actually dreaming.
Want to go out for a ride?
That is awesome.
We're friends and we walk.
How are you doing?
So you're good though now. Congratulations on winning. We're so excited that you won. And Bluma, you completed all your tasks. You did everything right. You didn't make any big mistakes other than the green shake before.
Yeah, that was it. We're good. We lost a waterproof black hat somewhere in my truck. That's a mystery.
This still bothers you. This is a big deal to you for some reason.
Like, I don't leave my truck for the whole entire time except to go to the bathroom. So how could I stink and lose something? So I just get frustrated because, Randy and I talk about it at length while we're waiting at a stop. So we got to be good for 10 minutes or 5 minutes, like a NASCAR pit stop. We got to have everything there, be ready to go, get her done, and get them back on the water. So when I can't find something or misplace something, that pisses me off. And I lost a hat somewhere, so it still hasn't. So I'm convinced that maybe while I was taking my hour nap, somebody stole it. I don't know.
I actually care somebody not stole about one it. It was a $10 hat. Right. It's not a big deal.
You would think that
Emily
that maybe
has it, and she's going to she's going to give it back to you when you stop asking about it.
Right, let him fester about it.
No, there
right.
you go.
You better
all right,
be perfect.
We've got Jamie Bluma and Emily McNeil. Emily, again, congratulations on the big victory. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about more victories. The Royals sweep the Twins. They're playing very well. And we've got some other baseball news and a benches-clearing brawl where the players actually touched each other and actually fought and wrestled and did things. I don't know if fighting is the correct way to describe that. But we'll talk to Bluma and ask him what he thinks about a coach egging on a player to come and find him and come and fight him. And then when the player runs over to him, said coach hides behind teammates and other coaches, which was hilarious to watch. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Everybody like to have what I got. I can cool them down when they're smoking hot. I'm the fireman. That's my name. Woo. Take it, Bluma. All right.
Down the road.
There it is.
There you go. Walkout song in college.
You're the fireman. Sing it, man.
I like to hear T-Mart
sing it for your girl.
I'm not going to. Yeah, because she loves country.
Mm-hmm. With a little mouth to mouth, she's raring to go. I'm
get
the
her fired
fireman.
Up.
Come on, Nate. Come on, Jake.
That's my
Come
name.
On, Emily. Come on, somebody. Come on, Kansas City. Sing
that's
it to
my
me.
Name.
Crank up the George Strait. Let's sing together.
Rams all over
all
town.
Putting out old flames. Everybody like to have, what I got. I can cool them down when they're smoking hot. I'm the fireman.
That's my name.
It's awesome because you're on like a half a second delay, Steven, so you're like right behind the music for us. It's like an echo.
Sounds good to me, and honestly, that's all that matters on this show.
That is all that matters.
All right, we got Jamie Bluma.
That's a good band name, Wonderful Echo. There you go.
The Royals sweep Minnesota Twins.
How about that?
I don't know what happened this past week, but I like it. Let's start with Brady Singer getting his first major league victory. He goes 5 innings. You'd like to see him go deeper, but so far so good for the young career of Brady Singer. What did you think of the Royals getting the sweep and Brady Singer yesterday getting his first major league victory?
You know, I'm impressed by him because it seems that he hasn't had his best stuff yet as far as command and just, you know, wipeout slider, throwing it right where he wants to. More changeups in his last outing than he had thrown before. And I think at one point during the broadcast yesterday, I said, wow, it looks like maybe the changeup's his best pitch right now, which, you know, his first start, he threw two, I think. His second start, he might have mixed in some more. But I'm excited because he's put the team in a position to be able to win a game every single time he's been out there. Now, he hasn't been, you know, seven innings, two hits, no walks, 12 strikeout type stuff, but he's battled. I mean, this is only three or four starts, into this kid's, you know, big league career. And to be able to go out there and pitch and mix it up when he doesn't maybe have his best command or his best stuff yet, that'll come. I mean, out of five starts, you're probably going to have really good stuff a couple times, mediocre stuff twice, and then not much anything once. So you got to figure out how to go out there and get big league hitters out when you don't have your best stuff, because you don't have it every single time you go out there. And I've been impressed for the fact that he can mix it up and he's got good enough stuff and can rely on, you know, breaking balls for a strike when he's behind in the count. He's got a good enough on his fastball. I talked about it last time too, that little quick delivery he does in the windup messes people up timing wise. I continue to like to see him do that. When he gets in the stretch, it's a little bit different, but impressive. I mean, impressive going out and sweeping the Twins have been hot, and we knew that they were going to be good this year. And to be able to get Keller back in the rotation, to get Junis back in the rotation and kind of solidify some things, it seems like everybody kind of took a deep breath after getting beat up by the Cubs a little bit the first couple games, after losing to the Whites. What did we lose, five in a row going into this past series?
Six in a row.
To come back and put ourselves back in the mix a little bit and beat up on the Twins, who we think is probably the best team in the division. And it completely changes your outlook on the Royals in a week. I mean, we're a quarter of the way through the season. So think about it like that. So
some of us are. Other teams have played like five games.
That's going to be – well, you know what? And that's another concern, too. I had a discussion with somebody last night about is it going to – and the Cardinals have played five games.
Yep.
At the end of the
year.
They
haven't played this month.
They're going to have to play 55 games in 49 days, something like that, if they want to actually play the whole 60-game schedule.
That's my question, is how many games is going to be enough to qualify to be able to get into the postseason? Say they end up playing 20, I don't know what the record is, 2-3 or whatever it is right now. If they play 25 games and they go 17-8, and that's a better winning percentage than somebody else, and they've only played half as many games, are they still getting to the playoffs? I don't think we've figured out what's going to happen there.
Well, this whole pandemic situation is one that you make it up as you go.
Sure.
And so far, Major League Baseball is saying they're not giving up on playing all 60 games. They're saying you're going to have to go out there and play a whole bunch of doubleheaders, seven-inning doubleheaders the rest of the way, and tough cookies if you don't like it. And I'm kind of okay with that, because especially since there's kind of reports that the Cardinals players and Marlins players weren't exactly the most careful. Meanwhile, the Indians had one player decide to step out of the hotel and go out with his buddies, and they sent him home in a rental car from Chicago, because they're like, no, you're not going to jeopardize this season for the rest of us. I almost feel like they ought to just go off wins. Well, you know, instead of winning percentage, good luck getting to enough wins, Cardinals, to get in. If you win enough games out of your 40 games that you play, then fine, you can be in, but you're going to have to try to win that many games out of a fewer number of them, because we don't really have time to waste on making it fair for you, and it's a tough break for all the guys on the Cardinals team that did the right thing, but there's got to be that peer pressure right now to knuckle down for a few months and not do anything.
I mean, don't be such an ass that you're putting other people in jeopardy, and I like the fact that Cleveland did that,
because
that's got to be all on board on this thing.
Zach, send him home and then rent a car and drive home. So
bye. Yeah. See ya. I mean, that's what's got to happen right now. That's why I hate to see, you know, a little bit going on with the Houston Astros, Oakland A's thing. We talked a little bit about the break. I mean, you've got coaches that are supposed to be the people that are doing a good job of helping these young men navigate
Alex
their way
Cintron.
Through a pen. Yeah, Alex Cintron. I hadn't seen the highlights until today. And to be instigated, some things I don't understand, too, and Steve and Nate, Jake, you guys know, when a guy gets hit by a breaking ball, we've got to be smarter as players, as the guy that got hit, to know that he's not trying to hit you on purpose with a breaking ball. That's not going to happen. I understand Laureano got hit for the third time.
Yeah.
But he's got to know, unless he didn't know it was a breaking ball.
What you could see by his body language, he was mad at the guy for throwing a bad breaking ball. Like, I think his attitude is, this is the big leagues, and if you're going to throw a breaking ball, and he was mocking him almost, like showing the grip, like, right. Hey, you know, like,
hey,
almost.
Laureano's got a good arm. Maybe he's got some credence there about that, but.
I think it was kind of like, hey, you're in the big leagues. You ought to know how to throw a breaking ball by now. And I heard the announcers for the Astros saying, hey, look, this kid was an A-ball. You know, he's being called up because of a pandemic and everything, and maybe it's not fair. But I can also understand. I mean, it didn't look like he was trying to fight him or anything. It was more like he was mocking him, like, hey, learn how to throw a breaking ball. You're in the big leagues, pal.
Cinchon instigating for the bench, waving him on, challenging him. Trying to get him to instigate, and look, Laureano should have stayed in first base, but Cinchon, you know, waving him over as a coach, like you said, you know, supposedly one of the you know, leaders on the team that's not supposed to do this, and so waving him on, and then when he encourages Laureano to actually run over to
he hides
behind the other players.
Hey, Houston. Clean it up, guys. You guys are already such a you got a pass for the stuff that you did before because of this pandemic, and you're lucky that there hasn't been more stuff happen this year already, and now you got coaches mocking dudes and doing all that after all the stupid crap that you've done already, cheating and doing all that. I mean, somebody needs to come hard on Houston again. On Cintron,
he ought to be suspended for the season.
100%.
Think about this. Baseball is such a. It's so interesting how different baseball is in certain things. Imagine an assistant coach in any other sport provoking a player who's in the game into a fight. Could you imagine an assistant coach in the NBA standing up and waving a player over and trying to fight him?
Right, he's done.
You know, I mean, or Eric Bieniemy going out on the field and trying to fight a player on the other team.
We have had an assistant football coach trip a guy during a punt return.
Right.
I mean, just a full-on trip a guy running on the
field. Yeah,
you know.
That's true. And that was pretty horrible.
Yeah,
right?
It was awful.
I mean, that was like one of those, get this guy out of here.
Yes.
But the thing about the Astros, too, is... Yes, they're going to get it from players all season long. They're going to hear chirping.
They deserve
and
they, it.
And you what? You just kind of got to take your medicine sometimes. It's at some point, you just have to say, all right, we're just going to put our heads down and get through this season. And when you have your own assistant coaches out there, and the report was, I saw a report from I can't remember who it was, but an actual reporter put out there that the allegation is that Cintron said something about his mom. And basically, like, you know, a derogatory thing about your, you know, you, them's fighting words, as they say. You're a coach,
right?
You're one of the coaches.
That's fighting words, whether you're in a dugout or
right.
you're in an alley somewhere.
Right.
Like, whoop somebody's ass. Doing
how about these words? Screw the Astros. Let's talk about the Royals.
Amen. Fair enough.
Yep.
Good enough.
Josh Stallmont must watch television right now. Not only because first you want to see him because, I mean, how many times has he hit 100 this year already on the gun? But now when he has that tremendous stuff harnessed, he looks to be on the verge of being unhittable. And wherever you are, if you are within reach, you got to watch and you got to, when he's coming into the game, that is awesome. He is very exciting and looks like he is turning into an absolute stud in that bullpen.
Absolutely. And, we've been waiting for it, man. We've been ready for it. Now that he's getting some experience under his belt, and he's getting a feel for his stuff. I'm excited about our bullpen in general. I mean, Greg Holland, we know what Greg Holland can do. With Barlow coming in and doing and getting a chance to close every once in a while. Now we got Kennedy, who's kind of the middle guy when something's – he's not even the closer now. He can come in and do some things. And you got Trevor Rosenthal with similar stuff to Josh Stallmont. This is something to be excited about with this bullpen if we can continue to be consistent. And it looks like guys are starting to get there. Zuber, we were excited about him. He's done a nice job. We're going to need all these guys down the stretch to see because the guys are getting leaned on a lot here early in the season because you need wins and to pitch multiple days in a row and pitch 3 out of 4 days and things like that. So we're going to need guys to step up when some guys have pitched a couple days in a row. I know there's a couple guys not available yesterday because they pitched a lot recently, and to be able to see, you know, Stalmont come in and stand and step in and step up. And, man, his stuff, whew, exciting. I mean, and Chris Bubik, who's starting again, I guess we got today off, starting again tomorrow. I'm excited to see what he did his second time out, starting to get more comfortable. And then you get Junis back, and Keller looked good his first time out. Our offense continues to do some things, and we were hopefully that was going to be the biggest strength of our team. I just hate that we went through that stretch that we seem to always go through of losing, you know, five or six in a row. This is the one year that can't happen. It already did, and we've rebounded with a four-game winning streak to get us somewhat back in it, but we're not quite back in it, but another couple wins and you can be back in it.
Yeah, they're not out of it. I mean, and that's the flip side to when we were talking about that six-game losing streak, that, hey, that's like having a 16-game losing streak or whatever it was in a regular season. But yeah, but the shoe is on the other foot now. Four-game winning streak is a 10.8-game winning streak.
Correct.
Compared. So it's quicker to get yourself out of it, but it's also quicker to get yourself back in it. And I give them credit because it seems like in most years that the Royals have been bad. Back in the early aughts, you know, 04, 05, 06, and then here in the last few years, they were so bad right out of the chute that the season was over by the end of May, and you just there was no chance. They took any hope you had. They couldn't even kind of middle around 500 for 3 months to keep you interested. And that's what it looked like they were going to do here. It looked like, right, they were just going to bury themselves, and it's like, well, football season already, and we haven't even gotten a month into it. But because of this four-game winning streak and because of the way the bullpen's pitching and some of these young arms are pitching and guys are coming off the DL, and the expanded playoff format, you actually can look at it and say, you know what, they're only a couple games out of being in the playoffs right now.
Well, even though we had lost that five or six in a row, the one thing that I was encouraged about, those are one-run games. I mean, it's not like we were getting blown out. It's not like we were not competing at all. We led in a lot of those games, and we were close to being two games above 500 when you lose 3 1-run games, 4 1-run games, 2-0, we got shut out one game. So we were right there. So it's nice to be able to, especially against the Twins, that's probably going to be the best team in this division, or should be over the long haul, to go out there and put a beat down on them, 3 straight and sweep. Now we just got to continue to win series. Sweeps are great, but let's win series. Let's go to Cincinnati. Is that a 2-game series?
Let me see here.
I don't even know our schedule.
I just been looking forward to this off day for the team because 17 games in a row before that one. It is a 2-game series, and then 4 games in Minnesota after that. So that's going
to
be a big series.
Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, Bluma, when you look at the offense, first base has just been a hole for this team the past couple of years offensively. And I like the fact that Hunter Dozier comes back. They put him at first base, immediately improves the lineup, and he gets a couple of RBIs in his first at bat off the IL. What about Hunter Dozier coming back to the lineup, which could certainly help?
Oh, we needed him back. I mean, that's a guy that solidified our lineup the year before, and to get him in there, no matter if it's in right field or first base. I mean, we've tried the O'Hearn-McBroom experiment a little bit. That's our only option going into this year, and that hasn't quite gone how we thought. So, you know, nobody's more excited to get back in the lineup than Hunter Dozier, knowing that the year he had last year, he wanted to get out there and put up numbers again and do it. And I think he slides right into this lineup. I like what Nicky Lopez has done. I like Soler's hot. There's been Salvi. Who would have thought him coming off COVID and him to be locked in and swinging the bat as well as he did? This lineup is, there's just damage to be done in this lineup, and we knew that this was going to be one of the strengths for us. Now we team that up. We got a decent bullpen. Now you can see a little uptick in our starting rotation. I think we appear to have a more well-rounded club 5 days later than we did a week ago, which is exciting to see. Now we just got to go take care of business and win series, or at least split series.
That is Mr. Jamie Bluma. And Bluma, it fits very well that you are in studio with us today because it is 8-10 day. So happy 8-10 day. You've been a big part of the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 and all of our events throughout the years. And so today, to celebrate 810 Day, we are giving away a wonderful 810 birthday gift to our listeners every hour throughout the entire day. When you hear the birthday song by the Beatles, you need to be caller number 8 at 913-318-810. And if you're caller 8, you'll get a $20 gift card to Joe's Kansas City and an 810 Charlie Hustle t-shirt. And then all of our hourly winners will be qualified to be put into the drawing to win the grand prize, an autographed football signed by Travis Kelce and a Sporting Kansas City soccer ball signed by the entire team. So thank you to Joe's Kansas City, and it's now available at your fingertips with the new Joe's KC Barbecue online ordering app. It's a few clicks away from your smartphone, and your order will be hot and ready for curbside pickup. So don't wait. Download the new Joe's KC Barbecue app today. Thanks to Charlie Hustle. And thank you to people like you, Bluma, for being a big part of the Sports Radio 810 family. So happy 810 Day to you.
I could actually throw in, and if you want me to record myself singing happy birthday for anyone,
sure.
I could throw that recording in.
Let's go.
Sure.
Yeah, that would be delicious. That would be delicious.
Add that to the mix, and also...
Yeah. Delicious. Scrumptious.
Scrumptious.
Right. And again, congratulations to Emily McNeil for winning, for being a champion for the MR340.
Of my division, so. Yes. Thank you.
That's right. You know what? You're just a champion.
Yep. You're our champion.
You're the Border Patrol's overall champion.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
we bring
you
people
guys
together. There are no divisions for us. Ah. We declare you champion of the world. How about that?
There you go. I'm excited today, too. I'm back out doing baseball camp today at Blue Valley Rec. We have 50 kids out there today.
Nice.
Spread them out, kids.
Yep.
No tickle tag. That's part of the reason I'm...
It's a good rule.
The six-foot rule is awesome when you're doing camp and stuff.
Yeah.
Because then kids aren't jacking with each other.
Yeah.
We can keep them separated. Keep them separated.
That's right.
That's right.
Whoopsie.
Thank you to both of our guests, Jamie Bluma and Emily McNeil. Congratulations to Emily once again. Hopefully you'll get your skin back very soon. Let us know how that happens and how you know what are you putting on there? Just in case anyone has any skin issues. What do you got? What do you recommend?
This is advice to everybody, and this is also from the I had a burnt bottom lip pretty bad, so I look like I had lip fillers, but Aquaphor is the go-to thing, and then I put Tagaderm over the top of that, which is something I learned back in softball days when I would slide and rip half my leg off. So I'm a big Tagaderm believer.
You know, Jake would just pee on his hands back when he was playing soccer.
That sounds like Dilson Torres. Else,
Jake, yeah, what do you
think? Calluses him up.
Did you or not?
Yeah, calluses him right up.
We're giving skin...
Vinegar. No, I never peed on my hands. I peed on my feet. It kills the athlete's
foot. Okay. All right. Well, you're peeing on something. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you know.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Emily. And
thanks,
we'll be right back after this on WHP.